Galatians chapter 5, beginning verse 16, says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this passage of Scripture. Pray you would guide our understanding as we look into another aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, this time goodness, Lord. Just pray that we would manifest it as we abide in you and are strengthened by our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, it's kind of been interesting for me as we've been going through this study, because with some of these ones, you figure, well, there's a whole lot in the Bible to look at it about. Others, you think, well, there's not going to be a whole lot. But you actually find, the more you get into it, there's quite a bit to it, and it is a real blessing. And so if we were to define goodness, we would think of it as a state of being good, but it's much more than that. It's not just being good, it is also doing good. It is the idea of kindness, the idea of benevolence. And this goodness is an action. Just as love is an action, faith is an action, we recognize this goodness is an action. It's a manifestation of love, of mercy, and it's ministering to the needs of others from out of the resources that we have. And with all of these, we recognize this is fruit of the Spirit. If God is manifesting Himself through us, that these will be evident. And so we recognize that goodness is both part of the character of God and part of what we could use to describe the actions of God through history. And so I want to just look briefly at different portions in the Scripture where it speaks of the goodness of God. Exodus chapter 18 and verse 9, where it says, "And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians." And we recognize that the goodness that he had, that Israel was in slavery, that there was the Pharaoh was not willing to let them go, but yet he delivered them through great power and brought them through into this place that they were in a place of danger before the Red Sea, but God provided deliverance, and he was giving them manna to eat and water to drink. And so he praised the Lord for his goodness, that out of God's supply that he gave them abundance. We see Exodus 34 and verse 6. "For the Lord passes before Moses." It says, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth." And we recognize that the Lord is abundant. All of his riches and his glory is abundant, and so he is abundant also in goodness and truth. We think even in the Philippians where it says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." It's not just the idea that he gives us out of the riches of his glory and the thought that he has all this amount, but he just kind of dispenses just only barely as much as we need. It's according to his riches that He gives us exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. That we ask for something and we just might want something small, but He gives us something that's such a blessing that we hardly have room enough to receive it. And so we recognize His goodness, that He's praised for His goodness. We rejoice in His goodness. We see this in the Psalms throughout. We think of the last verse in Psalm 23 where it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That we can testify that His goodness follows us. The actual word there for follow is the idea that it pursues us and overtakes us. That we find that even when we don't really deserve it, that it comes into our lives. Psalm 31, verse 19, the psalmist says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." And we see also in Psalm 33, verse 5, where it speaks that the earth is full of His goodness. And there's actually a psalm that you could say is dedicated to the idea of the goodness of the Lord. We have Psalm 119 that's dedicated to kind of the Word of God. There's the one psalm where every verse is followed by "His mercy endureth forever." But we see in Psalm 107 how it's very clearly that it speaks of the goodness of the Lord over and over again. This is Psalm 107. And we'll begin at verse 8. It says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God, and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He hath broken the gates of brass, and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They are reeled to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad because they be quiet, so He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men." And so again and again we see that, and it is something that should be on our lips, where we can testify to the goodness of God. And we actually see in Romans 2 verse 4, it says it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. That when we do wrong, as His children we are chastened, even when we're lost, that we suffer the consequences of our bad decisions. But yet we see so often that when we are undeserving, when we only deserve the wrath of God, then He is merciful to us. He shows us mercy, and it is His goodness that leads us to repentance. You think of even Judas, the one that was going to betray the Lord, and Jesus knew who would betray Him, but yet did He condemn him or yell at him or anything like that? No, we find that he stooped and he washed his feet. And it is something that we recognize, just the power of the goodness of the Lord. That when we realize that, when we have wronged him, and we have sinned against him, and yet he shows mercy to us that has such a power in us to bring us back to him. And so we see that it's exemplified by God himself, and specifically we see while he was upon this earth, it was exemplified by the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, Peter is speaking, and he kind of summarizes Jesus' life. He says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." And that is what we can testify, that Jesus, the entire time upon the earth, even though it was only three and a half years, that we realize all the good that he did, that the people that he ministered to, helping them, whatever their need was. We see Luke chapter 4 and verse 40, where it speaks of these multitudes of people that came to be healed of him. Those that were sick or had diverse disease, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. That there wasn't anyone that he said, "Well, I'm tired. I won't have time for you today." It wasn't like that. That he helped people. And you could just think of it, some of how fatigued he would have been in body, just all these people that came for help, and he was willing to help them. That when the 5,000 were listening to him, and the disciples said, "Well, we should just send them away. It's late, we're tired." And he had compassion on the multitudes, and he thought, "Well, if we just let them go, they'll faint in the way. We need to give them something to eat." And through the power of the Holy Ghost, he was able to take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed all of them. And so we realize his compassion, his goodness, that he ministered to people out of what he had. And we recognize that we are to be conformed to his image, and it's not just in theory, it must be in practice as well. So God wants us as believers to be doing good, showing kindness, showing benevolence, ministering to the needs of people around us. Hebrews 13 and verse 16. Hebrews 13 and verse 16 says, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." And so that is what we're to do, is to do good, to communicate. It's the word there is not in the same usage that we have today of just talking, but communicate is the idea of giving of what we have to minister to someone else. And we see that as well spoken of in 1 Timothy 6:18. He's charging them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in unsearches and riches. And he challenges them, verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. That God had given them these resources, and it was to be used to be a blessing to other people. And we think of that. Jesus, while he was on this earth, he had no physical riches, but he gave of the people of the Spirit, that he was full of the Spirit, and that's what he gave out to the people, was through the power of the Spirit. We think of Peter and John when they came to the temple, and there was the lame man there begging, seeking alms, and they said, "Well, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk." That from what they have, that they dispensed it, that they gave it out to those in need. And we recognize in this day and age God has not endued us with that grace, but he can endue us with the grace of giving. The taking of what we have, that we give it out to be a blessing to others, and we sacrifice on others as unto God, and we do it willingly and not grudgingly. That we look for the opportunities and we make the most of them. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." And so we're to do good unto all men, even ones that may not treat us well, even those that might treat us poorly. We see especially that we're to do good unto them that are the household of faith, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. But we should be willing to do that to those that are kind of give us a hard time, though, that those that don't treat us with the respect necessarily that we should. We see this given in Luke chapter 6 in verse 27, where it says, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, and unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh thee, and of him that asketh, taketh away of thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners, and to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be called the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." And so that is what we are to exhibit, what we are to manifest. Just as he is kind unto the unthankful and the evil, so we show kindness and benevolence in word and in deed. If we were to try to define kind of the antonym, the opposite of goodness, we would say it would be meanness, would be malevolence, where we take the opportunity we have and we do something cruel to someone else. But we would think of it in this way, if we were not to exhibit goodness, that it perhaps might not be the act of going out of our way to be mean to someone, but it'd be in some ways the idea of being unwilling to go out of our way to show kindness and to be a help, to withhold what good you could do for someone else, that you know that you could make a difference, that you could do something for someone, and you say, "No, I'm not going to do that. I don't have time. I don't want to give him myself in that way." Now we see Proverbs 3 verse 27 says, "Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in thy power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again tomorrow, I will give thee when thou hast it by thee." That if we, God has given us the ability, given us the opportunity, that we are to use it, that we're not to withhold it. That certainly if we don't have that given unto us, we can only do what we have opportunity for, but when we do have that opportunity, we need to make the most of it. 1 John 3, verse 17, 18, we looked at this this morning. It says, "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And so we look at it, that we have an opportunity that comes along each day to be a blessing and to be blessed, both now and in the future. And if we let it go by, if we let those opportunities to be a blessing to other people, to show goodness unto them, we miss out. If we're trying to lay up treasures on earth, if we're being miserly with our resources, if we're hoarding, then we're not doing what God has placed us upon this earth to do, that we recognize that all that we have does not belong to us, that we are stewards of what God has given to us, and he's given us these resources for his use, for his honor and glory. And in many ways he's given them for us to dispense in wisdom, to make a difference in this world around us. He wants us to be a channel of his blessing. And it's kind of the thought that if we really learn to show benevolence, to show kindness, to show this goodness in our lives, we might find that there might be a lot of different resources that pass through our life that we may never actually get to kind of grasp hold of them, but just the fact that they kind of flow through our fingers and we're able to minister to someone else, that it can be a tremendous blessing just to be a part of that. And we see in Proverbs 11, verse 24, it says, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but attendeth to poverty." And that's something that trying to figure out the math of that verse is pretty hard. It doesn't make a lot of sense that we can scatter what we have, and yet we have more in the end. And we can withhold and try to hold on to something and amass and hoard, but then we find that it tends to poverty. That it's the way it works, that we give and it shall be given unto us, good measure pressed down and running over shall men give into our bosom. For with what measure we meet, it shall be measured to you again, as it speaks of in Luke 6. And we see here in Proverbs 11, "The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it." When we have something that we can offer, something that we can give, and it may not be of this world, it may just be a word of encouragement, an opportunity of just helping someone out, or doing anything that we can, that we are to look for that opportunity to do good. That if we're looking, that we're going to be finding plenty of opportunities. That we don't want to just kind of try to just be good, we want to do good as well. That every man can proclaim his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. That we want to demonstrate the love of God, and we want to exhibit this fruit of the Spirit. And so, as we abide in Him, as we walk in the Spirit, as we live through His power, that He's going to enable us to give, even when it hurts, even when we don't think that we can, that we give, and we find that we are blessed, others are blessed, and it's totally different from the way that it was before, that we don't worry about such things. We're not in this world to amass wealth or try to get things for ourselves, but to give. I know, I remember a quote by Winston Churchill. He said that we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And so may we do this. May we be showing the goodness of God to those around us. May this fruit of the Spirit be manifest in our life, that we would be making a life that is pleasing unto the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for your word. We pray your blessings upon us. Help us to do good to all men, Lord, as we have opportunity, as you open the door, that they would see your goodness through us, Lord, that we might be able to make a difference in this age and generation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's turn to our last hymn, number 160, and we'll sing Channels Only, hymn 160. Hymn 160, on the first verse.